Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Today I want to talk about what I have titled The Power of Godliness, and I will be taking my text scripture from the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'll begin from verse 7. Paul said to Timothy, he said, "But have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds a promise for the present life and also for the life to come." Now, please get this point here, that he is saying that godliness, it has a promise. That is, God has attached certain rewards to the principle of godliness. And that's why I'm talking about the power of godliness. And that this reward, it's in every sphere. It has to do with things that are in this present life. And it has to do with the things that are in the life that is to come. Now, what is the meaning of godliness? Let me quickly explain that principle. It's a very simple thing to understand. When we say godliness, it means, simply put, God-likeness. That is, to be like God. Now, I'd like to say something about that. And that's the fact that when God made man, the Bible said that he made man in his own image and after his likeness. And then afterwards, he said the man should have dominion. That is, as a consequence of making man in his image, man was able potentially to have dominion. Now, that is, if we walk according to God's likeness, all right, then we are being exposed to receiving the power to have dominion in life. In fact, the major reason why we are short of God's glory, which means that things that we are supposed to have dominion over starts having dominion over us, why sickness starts taking our productivity away and killing us before our times, why our economy goes into shambles and into turmoil, is because we have departed from the principle of godliness. When God made man, he said, "Is in my image and after my likeness." And if he walks like that, he will have the ability to have dominion. That's what I'm trying to explain. Now, so when you see that issue of godliness, it means to be like God, to behave like God, to think like God, to have God's standards in what we are doing. And let me say that again, God has a standard for everything. One of the things people don't understand is that they think that God only worries about things that are sin and things that are not sin. Or the time you go to church and the time you don't go to church. So a man will go to church very regularly, early in the morning, late at night, go very early on Sunday, you know, maybe take communion, participate in the activities of the church, sometimes even pray in other tongues, you know. But then when he gets into his office, he said, "This one is business," as if God does not understand business. All right. So when we want to do our bribery and our corruption and our undercutting people and our twisting our meters to sell things so as to cheat our customers, we say, "This one is business," as if God does not understand business. God knows how to arrange a church service. He knows how to ordain ministers. He knows how to bless people who are kneeling down to pray. But then when it comes to business, please, God, excuse me. All right. If those of us, so I've watched a number of movies, you have seen that mafia people tend to go to church a lot. In fact, I remember one mafia movie I saw some time ago. The man was saying that, "Oh, am I not a good Christian with the holy chapel in my own home?" And this is a mafia don who will murder people who cross his path, promotes prostitution, drug abuse. But he said, "Am I not a good Christian? Why? Because I have a holy chapel in my own home. All my children are baptized." And look, when he's killing somebody, he says, "This is just business." That is, God does not understand business. He understands other issues of life. All right? That's what a lot of us think. But let me say it again. God has an opinion about everything. He has something to say about how you treat your employees. He has something to say about how you treat your boss. He has something to say about how you live with your wife, how you live with your husband, how you live with your children, how you live with your parents. God has a word concerning everything. He has something to say about how the kind of thoughts you think about your nation, the kind of thoughts you think about the stranger that is around you. There is something that God has to say about everything. Now, operating by the principles of God in every aspect of life is what is called godliness. When God is looking at a godly man, he calls him a righteous person. That his righteousness means that I, God, have put my stamp of approval upon his lifestyle. I have put my stamp of approval upon his faith, and he is an okay person with me. That is, a righteous man is that who is a person who walks in a godly fashion. Now, don't let's forget that. So I'm talking about that power. And if you notice, when I talk about this spiritual concept, all right, I try to bring it up to our hearts to understand that these things have power. These things have material connotations. They have tangible connotations in our lives. Because think about faith, for example. At that time, I talked about the power of faith. And I explained that faith is not just something that's inside your heart, but actually affects your environment. And that's what I'm saying again today. That godliness is not just what you do when you go to church. It's not even just the right way in which you walk. It is actually a source of divine power to affect your environment. So he said when he was making the man, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion. That is the dominion, the ability to have control, the ability to succeed in life, the ability to use the material things that God has made for progress, all right, and for prosperity. It's conferred upon the person that is walking after the order of God. That's the meaning of the word godliness. Do you understand my point? So godliness is not just what you look like. All right. There is an aspect of godliness who has to do what you look like. You don't go around dressed like a harlot and say you are godly. Do you understand? The Bible says there is an attire of a harlot. All right. There's godliness in your outfit. All right. But then it goes beyond that. It goes to what you do, how you walk at work, how you live at home, how you relate with the people that God brings you into contact with every day. All right. So Paul was explaining to Timothy here that this godliness is profitable. That is a source of power. It brings profit to your life. All right. And he said this profit is for all things because he holds a promise for the life that now is. That's another thing I want to clarify in the hearts of our people, that church work or Christianity is not something about the life after alone. Now you can see here that Paul explained that he holds a promise for the present life and also for the life to come. That is, there is a life after now. After you have died, there is actually a judgment day. There is heaven, there is hell, there is eternal damnation. All right, don't let's confuse ourselves as if there is not. All right, this life is too short, all right, for us to think that that's all there is to it. We are not animals. We're not made just from the dust of the earth. That's not all there is to us. There is a breath of life. There is an eternal being that God has placed inside us. And when we die, we depart from this body. And what will happen to us afterwards is dependent upon the godliness with which we live in this present life. And that's a matter of fact. The doctrine of heaven is not a myth. You know, because we have been so pummeled by the affairs of everyday life, sometimes we want to just assume that the doctrine of heaven is myth. It's not myth. It's a matter of fact, all right? You are going to spend eternity in certain places, and you must never, listen, you must never sacrifice your eternal destiny for temporal gain, for things that you will experience in this life alone. So that's why Paul said, exercise yourself for the purpose of godliness. If you see something there, he contrasted that godliness, all right, the reward thereof with bodily discipline. What was he talking about? When I say bodily discipline here, where he says it's for a little profit, this is what we mean. Sometimes you see a man who is fat and maybe he becomes diabetic. So, right, he's having sugar in his urine and he's beginning to have boils here and there. And he goes to see the doctor and the doctor says, Oga, you are diabetic. You have what we call maturity onset diabetes. And most of it is related to the fact that you are obese, you are too fat. So, sir, you would do well for yourself if you could lose weight. So suddenly the man starts going to the gym. You follow? The man starts exercising. The man starts eating less than he used to eat. The man starts drinking soft drinks. He starts drinking mostly water with his food. He stops just gulping everything down. He's disciplining himself. Why? For the purpose of health. You get the point? He said, oh, my heart is weak. I find it very hard, all right, to withstand strenuous work. So they put him on an exercise regime, okay, so that he starts walking, then he starts jogging, and then, you know, the man is running. So every day you see him go out early in the morning to go and jog, even if it's only for 15 minutes. Why? Because he wants a stronger heart. He was hypertensive. They say if you strengthen your heart, all right, you will find out that your hypertension will improve. That is, he's exercising himself for the purpose of health. us. People do it. I mean, ladies do it just simply for good looks. All those things, that's what the Bible calls bodily discipline. And he says it has a little profit. That is, all these things we're exercising ourselves for, it's little when we compare it to what godliness gives us. Listen, he said godliness is profitable unto all things. All right, for all things. Godliness actually also affects your physical well-being, apart from affecting your eternal destiny. So if a man can discipline himself to get up early, all right, and go and exercise so that he can have better health, then Paul said, more importantly, he should discipline himself concerning the issue of godliness. If God says it is wrong, all right, to tell lies, all right, in your business, and he says it is wrong to lie to your spouse or deceive your children or try to cheat your boss. Now, when he says the word discipline, all right, you will see that there's something that you have to attempt and work at. It doesn't mean that it just comes to you naturally. That's why it's likening that thing to bodily discipline, that godliness is a form of discipline. It's something I make up my mind, all right, to go to God and ask for his help and exercise myself to achieve. A lot of times I talk to people who misbehave a lot. And some of the excuses, all right, that they give is the fact that it's because of my parents. My parents used to do like this. And other people will make excuses for them that this girl is behaving like this because her father or her mother, they are like this. Or this boy is behaving like this because his father spoiled him. I said, listen, I understand the fact that people are affected by where they come out from. But please, let's not make those excuses for adults. If you were raised up to become a harlot, when you wake up one day, you grow up, you realize something, for goodness sake, this is not life. Because God gives everybody an example to follow. You see people who are not living the way you are living. You discipline yourself to become like them. That is, you look at them as examples of godliness and you discipline yourself to follow that path. When people make excuses, this person like this because of the parents, I said it is okay if the fellow is 15. It's okay if he's 17, 18, 19. Once you are crossing the age of 20, 21, I mean, listen to me, you have become responsible for what you are. You have the power. I mean, there's a saying that they have in Western Nigeria. They say it is with your own hands you repair your character. Do you understand my point? Yes, we are all affected by where we came from. If you come from a community of liars, you will be a liar. That's just the way it is. If you come from a community of fornicators, that's exactly what you will become. Because for you, that will be natural life. But God always exposes you to other influences and then gives you the opportunity to make a choice. If you go and read the story at Kadesh Barnea in the book of Numbers chapter 13 and Numbers chapter 14, when the children of Israel were supposed to enter into the promised land, they had sent these 12 spies ahead, and 10 of them, apart from Joshua and Caleb, the other two, returned with a report of evil, that the land is good, but there are giants in the land. Therefore, the Bible says that they made the hearts of the people melt because of their report. Now, when they made the hearts of the people melt, all right, the people, what was happening is that they were making their choices whether to believe God or to believe the 10 spies. Joshua and Caleb spoke for God. They said, if God is with us, then we can take the land. But the people chose to believe the 10 spies who said that we can't take it because we are like grasshoppers in the presence of the giants that are in the land. And then the glory of God came and defended Joshua and Caleb just before people stoned them. Now listen to this. When God was going to pass judgment, he said, because these people have gathered together against me, they have decided to reject my word, reject my instruction, and follow the counsel of their hearts. Listen to what he did. He judged everybody that was 20 years and above. Listen, once you cross the age of 20, God judged you. Now, listen, the whole congregation of Israel, old men, old women, young men, all of them sided with the 10 spies against God, against Joshua, against Caleb, against Moses. But when God was going to judge, he judged only those who were 20 years and above. And there was a reason for it. The reason was because anybody below that age, he's been influenced by his community. He's been influenced by his society. He's just echoing what everybody else is saying. You see, a little child begins to talk. He criticizes the whole nation. You know, that's what the father says at home. He doesn't understand anything better. A young man comes and speaks. Look, that's why I say a lot of young boys, they go to campus, they go and join cults. They have not been trained. They have been affected. They have influences. But then when you reach a particular age, that's what God was saying there in effect. Once you're 20 years and above, in their own context, God said that whatever you are, whatever you say today is a result of your personal choice. Therefore, I hold you personally responsible. you can no longer give me an excuse. That's because everybody was criticizing Moses. You are old enough, he was saying, in effect, to make up your mind to obey God despite what everybody else is saying. So I'm explaining the principle of godliness. It's a discipline. We walk towards it. We make up our mind. We approve those things that are excellent. When we see people who are godly and are making progress in life, they become our examples. The Bible says that we become followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You get my point? But we refuse to acknowledge, all right, the greatness of people who achieved it through wickedness. I mean, if you're on campus and you see a man and they say, that guy is a tough guy, and they say, what does he do? He say, man, he's a capon. Don't admire him. He's an evil man. He's a corrupt man. He's a depraved man. He's a man that God will judge. If you suddenly one of your cousins comes home Christmas, suddenly the guy has a lot of cars, he has a lot of money, and he's shining everywhere. And you ask, what does he do? And he tells you simply, this is what we do. We are very sharp. Now what we do, we will take drugs, we carry drugs, we do 419, but it makes money. Refuse to admire him. Don't speak about his cars. Don't speak about the house he has built. Don't sit down there admiring the glory outwardly. You discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Are you guys remember what I say? You don't go around taking examples from those who are crooked on how to live life just because you see that. I mean, he's paying them off. They have all the money. Everybody likes them. I'm explaining something that godliness is a discipline. It's something we make up our mind. He said, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word. That is, according to the word of God. That is, we have to look at the word of God to learn the precepts of godliness. In Isaiah chapter 55, God was explaining something to the children of Israel. He said, my ways and your ways, they are not the same thing. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts different, all right, from your thoughts. And what is he saying? In effect, come out and learn my thoughts. David said, come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What does that tell you? The fear of God does not come naturally. It's something you must make up your mind. I want to learn. It doesn't come naturally. I observed the other day that it's natural for people to take vengeance. It's natural for people to be selfish. It's natural for people to be covetous. The desire to preserve your life by yourself is natural. To become generous is a principle you learn. You teach it. One of the things I do to my kids is I show them how to share. All right? If one of my kids has a toy, the younger one is asking for it. Of course, the natural thing is that this is mine, this is mine. And I call him and say, come, that is your younger brother. You should share with him. Play with it for 5 minutes and allow your brother have it for some time. You teach the child how to share. So David said, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. It's something we learn. And Paul said, we must exercise ourselves in learning it. That's what I'm talking about. You follow what I say? I was teaching the other day and I was talking about the spirit of adultery. Listen, man, that men will want to commit adultery is natural. Solomon said it like this. No, that's in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 8. Said, I provided for myself the pleasures of men, many concubines. It's natural. But what do? We exercise ourselves against it. And when I was teaching the people, I explained that, listen, one of the ways by which you exercise yourself against the spirit of adultery is stop ganging up with adulterers. You hang out in a drinking joint at night with men who have abandoned their wives and children at home at 10 p.m. and are smoking and drinking and eating suya and eating pepper soup, and they are discussing, one or two of them have their girlfriends around. You are learning this, you are imbibing, you are drinking of the spirit of immorality. What should you do? You should get up and go home. You don't keep companies with adulterers and you will not become one. It doesn't happen. The Bible says that evil communication corrupts good manners. I'm explaining the principle. With godliness, you exercise yourself towards godliness. That's what you do. I remember when I first came to Enugu, one of our friends then, after I met him, one day we were talking. He and I used to relate a lot, and then our wives were present and all of that. Then his wife made a statement once, which really, really, I mean, it struck a chord in me. I realized this is something that is good. He said, oh, I'm so happy you have come. He said, I have been praying for my husband that he will have a friend like this. That is, this is the kind of thing I want my husband to be. This is the kind of godly person that he should be. And I think I will appreciate if God can surround him with good people. I have prayed for a friend for my husband, and you are an answer to my prayer. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That is the influence, the kind of people that this man is around. Now, the man is a godly man. It's just that the Bible says that iron sharpens iron. So a godly man makes another godly man finer in godliness. Please get the point I'm making. It's something we exercise ourselves towards. And let nobody say the pressure of society. I found out the other day I was listening to Elton John. You know, he was being interviewed by Larry King. And Elton John was talking about this control of HIV AIDS and all of that. And he was he's a homosexual, a certified homosexual. He got married to his male partner sometime earlier this year, I think, or last year. And so, I mean, his morality and mine are definitely as far as the East is from the West. All right, so you can't understand that I disagree with him on a lot of points. And he made a statement, which I said, look, this is what Satan tries to sell to us. He said that the American president, George W. Bush, is supporting programs that promote abstinence as a form of prevention of AIDS. And he said it has been shown that abstinence does not work. I wanted to punch through the TV now. Tell me, sir, who showed you that abstinence doesn't work? That people cannot abstain. Listen to me, they can abstain from sex. The reason why they can't abstain is because people keep on telling them they can't abstain. They have exercised themselves onto immorality. Do you understand my point? Now, it is difficult to exercise themselves onto abstinence. We can teach it to our children. It is possible to abstain. And one of the ways by which you get people to abstain is that they keep companies with those who believe in abstinence. You can't go to parties with those who don't believe in abstinence and you want to abstain. It is hard. The spirits of human beings affect each other. Listen, in godliness, we exercise ourselves. Please, I'm going to explain some principles, and I pray that you'll be able to follow me. All right? Because these spiritual laws, Paul said, talking about godliness here, that they affect everything. One of the things I've been trying to explain to people, take this immorality thing as an example, and adultery, that adultery is a killer of men, the male gender. One of the ways by which Satan prevents them from succeeding in life is through sexual immorality, especially adultery. Listen to me. If you want to die early in life, if you don't want to do well in your business, if you want to have frustrations all the time, become an adulterer. If you defile another man's wife, you will die early. Listen to what I'm going to say. Your business will collapse. Listen, Paul said, godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise for the life that now is. That is, your moral lifestyle affects everything in your life. I know what I'm going to say. I tell men, you want your children to be bright in school, avoid sleeping with other people's wives. Avoid going around sleeping with young girls. It leaks the mental ability of your children. Look, listen. There's something about godliness I want to understand. I said something at the beginning. That God said, I made man in my image after my likeness. And then I am able to give them dominion. They can only sustain dominion, I'm prophesying to you, if they walk as my image and after my likeness. Do you follow what I'm saying? Many years ago, I read a book written by Ed Cole. Ed Cole was a man who preached on manhood, how men should be men. All right? His first book that was successful so much was titled Maximize Manhood. He said once he had to counsel with a friend of his who was having serious problem in his business. He came, checked the business. You know, a lot of us, you know, it's so important we understand that spiritual things are real, that we keep our way pure. It's so important because what we do these days is that we read only business books. Business book that teaches how to invest, how not to invest, how to do this, how not to do that, how to calculate profit and loss. And they deny that there's a spiritual background to everything. Let me give an example. Recent times, you see the global economic shaking. Anytime I see it, I laugh. I laugh because it is born directly of godlessness and greed. It is obvious. It is born of godlessness and greed. I heard a man of God analyze it. That when Lehman Brothers in America collapsed, people don't understand. These companies were built on the principle of godliness. When you began to take the principle of godliness and the Ten Commandments that God gave Israel out of the principles of those companies, then they had to collapse. So Ed Cole said his friend called him, please let me see what's going wrong with my business. Of course, after they checked and checked and checked and checked, he couldn't find anything that was wrong. The man had done everything physically right. He pays the staff well. He motivates the staff. He does everything. Their products and services are good. But the company just wasn't moving forward. Then along the line, something slipped out from the mouth of one of the staff. The boss was sleeping with the secretary. The man didn't understand it, but he had injected the spirit of distrust into his company. The people who try to work, they can't work. Listen, let me tell you something. I've told you before, all those of you who believe in witches and wizards, the place where you should look for the witch is not the village. It's not the tree they planted in your father's compound that one prophet has been collecting your money to keep the demon in check. That's not the problem. The witch in your house is in your heart. The witch in your business is in your house. I don't mean your wife. I don't mean your cousin that stays with you. I mean it's inside your heart. Go and dust your heart. Look at what you do. You cannot be cheating on those who trust you. Okay, and not inject the spirit
of decadence into your business. Listen, we are talking the way of success. That's, I have to tell you the truth. You can pay all the money you want for the best business consultant. If you're an adulterer, you will have problems. Do you get what I'm trying to say? You will become an unlucky person. If you are a cheat, you will have problems. Remember, when the business started, you had an agreement with a friend of yours. You did all the work, he put down all the money, and you guys agreed to share the business 50-50. Now, Satan has spoken to you now that what is after all, you're the one doing all the work. You're the one doing all the work. So you have cornered him out. You are pocketing all the money. And you are wondering why your wife is sick. You are wondering why your children are always going to hospital and coming back. You don't get the point. The foundation of your wealth has rottenness in it. There is godlessness in it. You need to call your friend and reconcile. He said, but you did all the work. There was an agreement. It was an agreement. I put down all the money. You do all the work. We split the company 50-50. But greed, selfishness, covetousness has taken over your heart. You have skimmed the man out. After all, he's not in Nigeria. Who is watching? What you have done is that through your principle of godlessness, okay, you have invited Satan. Listen, the Bible talked about not giving a room to the devil. Satan needs doors to enter people's lives. A lot of us think Satan is so powerful, he can do what he likes. It's not true. Listen to me, you can control Satan. All the time he was roaming around the life of Job looking for how to afflict him. Was he able to afflict him? No. Even he acknowledged it. When he walked out the presence of God, God said, have you considered my servant Job? He said, I don't bother about him anymore. Seeing that you have set a hedge around him, Satan can be controlled. It's not by waking up at night and lifting up dirty hands up to God and shouting Holy Ghost fire and the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is not a cliche of Christianity. You just get up and shout it. It is automatically applied when the hands are clean and when the heart is in faith. Do you get my point? It is applied when we speak according to God's word, when we speak according to godliness. Evil people want to pay tithe. I like one thing Bishop Oyedepo said those days. He said, in effect, they have reported themselves to God. He said, God, look at my wages of iniquity. God commanded them under the old covenant not to bring the wages of harlotry into the temple. But what do we do these days? Some of us pastors even tell them that it doesn't matter. I heard a man preach once, lying to the congregation. That it doesn't matter, even if it's blood money, we have bigger blood to cleanse it. Listen, his judgment as the judge and the judgment of the man who brings the blood money is the same thing. God doesn't want blood money. No, he does not. He doesn't want money of crookedness. He doesn't. If it's for his work, two mites that the honest widow gives is more, he said, than all the multitude of money that other people pour in. Because with that, this is my spiritual understanding, he can have more effect. Because those who give you money inject the spirit into what you are doing. You want to start your business, please. Don't tell a thief to invest in it. The spirit of stealing, the spirit of thievery will be injected into your business. Don't have a 419 man invest in your business. It's not good. His spirit of spiritual harlotry, his spirit of ungodliness is going to... Look, it may not manifest today. The first 5 years, listen, the Bible says that the first 5 years you may appear to be succeeding. It might take 15, 20 years before you see the reward of it. Because those spirits, they are alive. They are like the mafia sometimes. They take their revenge and they enjoy it most when it is cold. Listen to what I'm trying to say. You want to fear God? Listen, you can't go to church and go and pray if you're not ready to repent. That's not the principle of prayer. Are you getting my point? I'll continue this matter next time. I want to talk about the power of godliness.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.